You are listening to NTC Messina's podcast, where our desire as the family of God is to simply know God, love one another, and make disciples.
So happy Father's Day to you guys. As Justin said, we understand this day is always kind of brings mixed emotions for people. There's a million reasons to have different emotions on this day, but today we do want to celebrate our dads. No matter who they are, whether they're with us or not with us anymore, we still want to celebrate them. We want to celebrate what it means to be a father. It doesn't have to link you with biological blood at all. You can still be a father to people in your lives. And so we just want to celebrate dads today a little bit. I'm going to talk about them in my message. But hopefully you have, you know, been following along with our messages. This is our second week of starting a series called The Way, the Truth, and the Life. If you are not in a house church / small group, we want you to be in one. The real problem with our system is that we don't have enough of them. So many people want to be in one, but we don't have anybody to ask them to be in one because everyone wants to be in one but doesn't want to lead it. So I'm asking you today, if you want to lead one, even if you don't, how about you just say you do and then do it? It's really simple. Have people to your house. It's legal now, okay? Have people to your house. Have a meal together. We love eating together. Bring your notes from Sunday. Just pay attention today a little bit and then talk about the message. That's all we want to do is dive in together and say, what has God been teaching us? What has God been revealing to us? What are the scriptures? It's not a hard thing. I know a bunch of you, I think we kind of had a goal of about 300 people being in our house church network groups. And we have about 160, I think, right now. So we're a little over halfway, maybe a little more than that, actually. But that just means we need a lot more groups. So if it's on your heart, please let us know. You can always contact Justin about it or any of us really. We'll pass the information along. If you do want to be in one, there are a few groups I know that are even looking for people to be in their group, but they just don't know who to ask. Be a little bit bold. Say, hey, I want to be in your group, okay? You can always go on our website and find those groups as well. I'm sure it's navigationally not that hard to find. I don't know actually what you do. You go to our website, you'll find something that says something about our groups, and you can see which ones are open and who's looking for members, okay? So we really want to push that. We're going to do that for 10 weeks through the summer, so 9 more weeks left to go. We're hoping that each week we're going to hear a little bit from the groups that have met. So we're going to be calling the groups. We're going to be calling the leaders. And I want you to be thinking about this. If you're in a group and you're having a discussion and something stands out to you, think about being willing to share it on a Sunday. We want to have a few people stand up here and say, hey, this is what stood out for me. This is what took place in my heart. This is what God was speaking to me. We don't want this to be, the Justin and Greg show, okay? Even though that would be funny. That'd be hilarious. But we don't want it to be about just us, right? We want to hear from what God is doing within your heart. So we're going to be asking that. Just get into a group. Search it out if you have to. Do what you have to do. We want to see you guys all growing together. All right. Those are my little pitches today. So, the way, the truth, and the life. So last week, we started talking about the way of God. Of course, the scripture comes from John. If you have your Bibles, you can open up there. But I'll just quote it again. It says, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so we're just talking about what does it mean to live the ways of Jesus? The ways of Jesus. Last week, I just kind of emphasized, what is this talking about? And really, I ended on this thought. It says, in all you do and in every one of your actions, we're supposed to acknowledge him. In Proverbs 3:6, it says this, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. In all your ways. So everything you do in your life is supposed to be following the way of Jesus. So what does that actually mean, though? Honestly, I'll just say this. The only way to find out what that means is to read your Bible. Listen, I'm just a follower that you're listening to. I'm not the person that you should be following. You should be following the same guy I'm following. His name's Jesus. And if you want to follow that same guy, then you need to read about him. You need to get to know him. And luckily, we have some information. We have these scriptures that have been passed down to us that teach us of Jesus' life. And if we want to live the way of Jesus, we have to understand, how did he actually live? And I would just say this. Maybe it's been built into me for some reason. I don't tend to take what other people say as fact. I'm like a skeptic in some sort of sense at heart. I think just recently someone was telling me some information. I can't remember what it was. Oh, it was something about a job someone did and how much it cost them. And I'm like, no, it didn't. I'm like, no, that's what they said. That's what they said it cost. I'm like, I don't care what they said. There's no way they only spent that much money on that job. Because I know construction, and so I'm skeptical going. I'm adding the numbers up in my head. I tend to do that. Someone tells me a fact, like, oh, did you hear that, you know, 28,000 people, blah, 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 some sort of fact. I don't even care what it's about. I'm like, really? And then I'm Googling it. Oh, really? And I'm like, oh, no, it's 28,100. I just tend to be a skeptic. I want to know for myself. I want to know for myself. And I think in Christianity, we should all have something like this. You need to know this for yourself. Don't take my words as gospel. Don't take even my directions as gospel. We should all be following the same person. You know, even Paul talks about this in his letter to the Corinthian church and actually to the Roman church as well. And he basically says, hey, don't call yourselves followers of this guy or followers of that guy. You know, because some would say, oh, no, we really like Paul better than we like Apollos. And we like Apollos because he's just nicer than Paul. And he's saying, hey, don't talk about who you're following in that sense, because we're all called to be followers of Christ. And so I want to admonish you today. If you want to know the ways of Jesus, get into finding out the ways of Jesus. Don't just expect to learn them well on a Sunday morning even. I mean, everything we do, we're trying to grow in that idea, to know God, right? We have it on our signs, we have it all over the place, to know God. This is what we're talking about. What does it mean to know God, to know Jesus in our life? It means we have to search out truths about him. We have to get to know him, even in experience. We come and we worship on Sunday. It's because we want to experience his presence in our lives. It causes us to get to know him. It allows us to learn how to follow him. So what does this mean? The ways of God, the ways of Jesus. In all your ways, acknowledge him. What does it really look like for us to acknowledge God in our ways? I think sometimes in Christianity, we think that this idea of acknowledging God in our ways is like when the guy makes a touchdown at the end of the, you know, in the football game, and he gets there and then he goes like this. And then he does some crazy dance. You know? Or someone receives an award, right? If you ever watch the movie awards, they're like, we just want to thank God in heaven, and then they go on and on and on about everything else. And it's like, oh wow, they acknowledged God. And acknowledgement almost sounds a little like cheesy, actually. Like acknowledgements, have you ever watched all the acknowledgements at the end of a movie? That's what they're called, acknowledgements. They're acknowledging everybody who has worked on this movie. Doesn't really sound all that special, does it? So sometimes we take that and we kind of think, well, maybe I just need to acknowledge God. Someone's like, oh man, you're such a great dad. You're like, only because of God. Now, it's not wrong, because it's probably true. But that's not exactly what this is talking about. It doesn't just mean to just randomly say it's because of God in your life, or randomly point to God when you are successful in some way, or randomly thank God because something happened in your life in a good way. In fact, we usually acknowledge God in all the good things. We rarely acknowledge him in the bad things. But acknowledging here, it's actually better to say it's about what you're doing to live it. In all your ways, acknowledge him. That word is better going to be described as how are you actually living it instead of just saying it. I mean, how many people say they're Christians? Does anybody know the statistic? You can be skeptical of my number and you can look it up. Right? I'm just gonna throw out the last one that I saw. Around 2.3 billion people in the world call themselves Christians. That number changes. And some people fight about that number, okay? Because some people would say, oh, this group that's calling themselves Christians aren't really Christians. So I'm just going to say, of all the people who think they are Christians, that's how many there are, okay? Now, I would say that I tend to be a little bit more narrow and say, I'm not sure that's how it works. Because you can say one thing, but you can be something completely different. You can say one thing in acknowledgement, but your life can act completely different. And so when Proverbs says, in all your ways acknowledge him, he'll make straight your paths, it doesn't just mean say some good things about God in your life. It means in all the ways that you act, you should be living under God's rule and reign. You should be living under God's ways in your life. And so in all our ways means in everything we do, in all of our actions, in all of our decisions, in every move we make, we should be followers of Jesus, not just in words. Anybody go on Facebook? I mean, everybody goes on Facebook, right? And see these fact checks now that go under these memes? Anybody see this stuff? It drives me crazy, kind of. Because honestly, some of the fact checks are wrong. But you see that people are out there like just fact-checking information to try and bring some sort of curb to just the nonsense that people say. I wish in a way we could be fact-checked as Christians. You know, we say, oh, we're Christian, oh, I love God, and then there's like a list of all the ways that we don't. Wouldn't that be brutal? How many of us would enjoy that? None of us. Because none of us fit into that category well. That's what the grace of Jesus is about. That's what following him is about. But so often, Christians are loud with their words and extremely quiet with their actions. And I'm just speaking generally. I'm not pointing at you. I'm pointing at all of us generally in the world as Christians. There's unfortunately a lot of ammunition given to attack Christians because we are loud with our words and not louder with our actions. Our actions should be far louder than even our words are. Our words should still be there. The acknowledgement of God with our words should still be there in our life, but only when our life has already lined up with it. So in all our ways, in all of our actions, we're supposed to acknowledge him. And then it says this promise, this proverb says, he'll make straight your paths. So I want to jump down to John 5. And this actually, we'll just quickly read this. And I'm going to jump to another side of this conversation. John 5, this is Jesus saying this. He talks in the third person often. I'm not sure why he does that, but it's interesting. So Jesus says this in John. The Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. This is Jesus acknowledging the Father in his life. Now, this is after he has just performed miracles. People have just seen him do incredible acts. They're just amazed by him. They want to follow him. And he immediately says, listen, I'm only doing what the Father does. And later when we get to John 14, that first scripture, right? I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. This is him beginning a conversation that is saying, listen, if you've seen me, you've seen my actions, then you've seen the Father and you've seen his actions. You know, is Jeremiah back there? Yeah, there he is. Jeremiah's doing projection for us today. First time. Great job, buddy. I'm going to tell a story about him, so I was wondering if he was in the room. Now he's going to be embarrassed. Sorry, bud. So Jeremiah, and you know, he's got four siblings, right? And unfortunately, Jeremiah gets treated like another adult in the house because he has four siblings, and we need help. And so sometimes what happens is something goes awry in the home, and I blame Jeremiah. Okay? Does anybody else ever do that? Come on. Make me feel better. You said no. I'll leave the house. I'm like, hey, Jeremiah, I'm going to go outside and do some work. Can you just make sure that the kids are fine in here? Oh, yeah. While he's playing the Wii. Okay? I come in, milk poured over on the table, you know, water dripping from the ceiling. There's been all sorts of stories with this. One time, literally, I came in, and it wasn't dripping from the ceiling. It was raining. It was raining from the upstairs into my downstairs, and then my downstairs into my basement. And it was because my daughter thought it was fun to overflow the tub. So, which she still tries to do if we don't pay attention to her. So I'm upset. I'm mad, and I blame Jeremiah because I left him in charge. Okay? Yeah. Now, if you don't know, Jeremiah's 12. Okay? I want him to be 20, but he's 12. I want him to think like a 20-year-old. Actually, I don't want him to think like a 20-year-old. I want him to think like a 36-year-old. Okay? That's what I want him to think like, which is me. Because shouldn't everybody think like me? Right? Don't we all do that? And I want him to think like me, and I can't believe he's allowed this thing to happen. And I'm frustrated with him, and I'm yelling at him, and I'm not being nice, okay? I'm not being nice at all. It was a horrible moment. I shouldn't even tell you this story. And Jeremiah gets so furious at me and screams at me. Now, he almost never does that. And I go, what the heck? And then I go, what is wrong with you? Yeah, you're laughing now. And I realize, oh my gosh, he's doing what his dad does. Now that's a bad thing in this moment. But he's doing what his dad does. You know, how many of us grow up and we maybe have that, we have incredible dads, we all do. My dad was incredible. But there was probably a few things in my life that I'm like, I don't want to be like that. Anybody ever say that? And then you become just like that? We do as our father does. It's almost some natural implanted thing within us. Especially if you're raised by him. But I don't even know if I care about that. Like, I watch my children that are adopted, and they act completely different than me. Now, they act a little like me because I'm raising them, but they honestly act mostly not like me. In good and not so good ways. We somehow have implanted in us that we do as our father does. So Jesus here is kind of pointing out the same thing. I'm only doing as you see as I see the Father doing. So if we see Jesus in all his goodness, this is what the Father is like to us. As Justin read that scripture, you know, if we give good gifts, so how much better is the Father in heaven going to give good gifts to us? The truth is, sometimes we look at the Father in the sense of the Trinity, and we think he's like the disciplinarian or the mad guy, because most dads can be mad sometimes, okay. But really, if we see Jesus in all his goodness, he's just a reflection of what his dad's like. How many of us have seen the reflection of what we're like in our children? Silence, because you're thinking, oh, man. You know, sometimes in all of the good ways, too, though. Jeremiah, he's out mowing lawns right now, making money. Not literally right now, but in this summer, he's actually gotten jobs where he's mowing lawns. And I watched him, and he, as for a 12-year-old, he works stinking hard. And you want to know what? He's like his dad. He does as his father does. Now, he complains a decent amount about it. But guess what I did to my dad? You can ask him all about it. It's built into us to reflect the nature of our Father. It's built into us to reflect the nature of what he does. And so what's incredible about this story, though, is that eventually we get to Romans and we realize that we are now under the fathering of a new dad. And we get to reflect his nature in our lives. And we see how Jesus lived. You see, he came as a man. I don't want to get into trying to describe the doctrine that we believe he was 100% man and 100% God at the same time, but let's just focus on the part where he was 100% man. It means that he didn't really have any one-ups on you as he was here on this earth. Yet he lived a perfect and sinless life. He lived a life that reflected exactly what we're supposed to live like. And so as we look at him, we're supposed to reflect our Father in heaven. And we want to follow the ways of our Father in heaven, then we need to follow Jesus' ways in our life. Now, the thing about fathering in our lives, and the greatest prayer a dad can pray is this: God, let them become like me in all the good ways, and let them forget the bad. That's what I pray almost every day. Even if he doesn't forget the bad, I pray he learns from it. You ask Jeremiah how many times I've sat down with him, taken him in a drive, and apologized to him. Probably more times than he can remember. But he always likes it because he usually gets Taco Bell out of it. Listen, every person watching this right now, every person sitting in this room that's a dad, you're a good dad. You're a good father. Every one of you, no matter how many things that you remember you've done wrong, I'm telling you, you're a good father, because the second part of our message here is a story in Mark 10. And I'm going to read it here real quick, but it jumps down. Actually, let's just read it, and I'll get to the good part in a minute. So Mark 10, verse 35, there's a story taking place. Jesus is with his friends. He's with his disciples. And it comes to this moment, and we'll start reading in verse 35, chapter 10. It says, "Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee." I love that in the Bible and in their culture, they were always identified by, guess what? Their father. In fact, most cultures develop their last names saying son of. It's in our nature to be identified by our father. And if our father has become this father in heaven that we sing about and talk about and read about, then our nature is supposed to reflect him. People should look at your life and say, Mark Miller, son of God. Pete Ryder, son of God. Cindy Hurlbut, daughter of God. People should look at our lives and realize who our Father is. So we have these two sons, right? And they come, James and John, and they say to Jesus, "Teacher, we want you to do us a favor." I love this. Anybody have kids that come and do this to you? "Dad, I was thinking." We all know that that's their, "Oh, really? You were? That's new." That's what I say. No, sorry. Sometimes. Only to Isaac, actually. Poor Isaac. But then he usually goes on a very long explanation of something he would like for me to do. And I love to listen to him because I don't know why, but Isaac has an incredible vocabulary. Like, really incredible. I can't believe it. Sometimes the words he says, I'm like, where did you even learn that word? Usually it's from his Uncle Dennis. But he's described some long thing to me, and it's usually he wants a favor. So here they are talking to Jesus, and they say, "Hey, can you do us a favor?" And I love this. Jesus says, "What is it?" Like, this is Jesus, also God of the universe. And he's like, "Sure, what's your request? Let me hear it." And they replied, "When you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in a place of honor next to you, one on your right and one on your left." But Jesus said to them, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering that I must be baptized with?" "Oh, yes," they replied, "we are able." Yeah, right. Yeah, right. I feel like I have these conversations with my kids all the time. "Oh, yeah, we can do that." "Yeah, no, you can't." "Yes, we are able." Then Jesus told them, "You will indeed drink from my bitter cup and be baptized with my baptism of suffering. But I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. God has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen." Let's just stop there. Doesn't this how requests and favors often go? You're like, hey, can I sit on your right and your left? And Jesus is like, well, can you drink from my bitter cup of suffering? And they're like, yeah, we can. And then he's like, well, you'll get to drink from the bitter cup of suffering, but you won't get to sit on my right and left. Like, wait a second. We didn't get the good part, though. You know, my kids, they'll ask me to do favors like that. And I'm always like, yes, but let's have a great fun time first. And they already know what that means now because I ruined fun for them. They're like, no, we're not working. I'm like, first we get to pick up the dog poop. Then we get to rake the leaves. They're like, Dad, stop. That's what I feel like Jesus is doing here. Like, yeah, sure, you'll get all the pain and you won't get to sit there. Which is kind of funny. But then he says, when the 10 other disciples heard what James and John asked, they were indignant. You know why they were indignant? They didn't ask first. That's all. It's just like every other kid. Right? I mean, Jeremiah comes and asks Dad for a favor. I say yes to him. Then they're all like, me too, me too, me too. It's the same thing. They're upset just because they got beaten to it. And so Jesus calls them together. And he said, you know that the rulers of this world lord it over their people. And officials flaunt their authority over those under them. Sounds familiar. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. You want to know what it's like to live the ways of Jesus? It's usually the opposite of our actual nature. It's usually the opposite of what we even are intending when we ask God to do something in our life. These guys are asking for a place of honor. They want to sit next to him on his right hand and on his left and on some big seat that just makes them feel important and makes them feel like God cares about them more than everyone else. And he says they're going to instead, you know, have this suffering and pain in their life. And then he goes into this teaching that basically says, if you want to be a leader in the NLT, in the ESV, it says this, if you want to be great, you've got to be a servant. If you want to actually be important, that's what this word, they've translated leader, great, important. If you want to actually be important, the thing you were just asking of me, then you actually have to be a servant. So such an opposite of our nature in our lives, isn't it? If you want to be important in a Western culture, do you think that serving is going to get you there? In fact, it's the opposite. All of our service industries, which we called essential for a while here, have always been looked down upon. Have always been looked at like, oh, yeah, you know, that guy just mops the floors. Oh, that guy just takes out the garbage. Yeah, Jesus flips this whole picture on its head and says, listen, if you want to be great, if you want to be important in my kingdom, in the world that I live in, then you have to become a servant. And then he even takes it even to a crazy step further. And he says, if you want to be first, you've got to be slave to everyone else. Jesus' words are upending what we're supposed to think like and what we're supposed to act like and what we think life is supposed to be like. His ways are often far from our ways. His ways are calling us all to be servants. You know, so often as a dad, you know, I'm always trying to get something done. That's what I don't know why. I'm always trying to accomplish something. I don't know if anybody else is like me, but I'm trying to get something done. If I'm not getting something done, I kind of feel like I'm not doing anything important. So I can't even sit on the couch and enjoy it for a few minutes because I think, oh, shoot, I have to get that done. I'm always trying to accomplish something. I'm always trying to do that. But yet the way that God says things here is that we're supposed to be servants. And so in my life, when I'm trying to get something done and someone distracts me from the getting something done, it's always, well, I call it that, a distraction. It's always an inconvenience. And sometimes in my life, I treat others like an inconvenience because it doesn't fit into my world of getting something done. But yet God's heart for us is to say, you've got to be a servant to all. You know, over the last few years, I remember reading this a few years ago, and I was challenged by this even as a dad, because I was basically trying to always get my kids to do what I wanted them to do and never wanting to do what they wanted to do. And so I've had this endeavor, and I'm not great at it, where I just said, you know what, if my kids ask me for something or want me to do something that isn't outrageous or maybe costs more money than I want to spend, I want to just say yes. I want to say yes. Now, I'm not great at it, so what I've been doing for a long time, too, when I don't say yes, but I have this, like, if for some reason it's stuck in my head, I don't want to say no, so I kind of say, maybe later. How about later? And so Isaac comes to me yesterday. He rides his bike up to me, and I'm working on our deck, because I'm building, I had to tear down our old deck, and I'm putting up our new deck, and I'm working on it. It's so hot out, I'm dripping sweat. And he actually runs right into the back of me with his wheel. And I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, Dad, you said you'd fix my bike. And I look down at his bike, and his handlebar, it's like twisted almost in line with the tire. And he's riding it like that, you know? He's got the handlebar facing way over this way, and he's riding it. And I'm like, and I went to say maybe later, and I realized I probably said that to him quite a few times. And I'm sweating, and I'm like trying to get something done, and I'm like, no, I'm going to fix it. I said, buddy, how about we take it in the garage? I'll fix it right now. And he's like, really? I'm like, yeah, let's go right now. And it took me like 30 seconds probably. I had to tighten a bolt and make it straight. And I make a joke of that, but the truth is our nature is to get things done for ourselves. As all people, our nature is, what are we trying to accomplish? What are we trying to do with ourselves? And instead, Jesus is saying, no, you're supposed to be a servant to all. That if we want to be great in this world, if we want to actually acknowledge God in our ways, I think one of the first things, and this is because Jesus doesn't say a lot about what he is. Like, there's a number of things he says, and we're talking about those, but him calling himself a servant is a huge deal. Because right then and there, he probably puts in a whole lot of confusion, because at this point, they had maybe started to believe that he was their Messiah. That's why they asked the question. But you see, they were confused about what their Messiah was going to be like. So they had started to see him do miracles. They had seen him teaching in incredibly, you know, authority ways, they had said. They had said, seen all this stuff that made him line up with Messiah. So they decided to ask a Messiah question, which was, can we sit on your right and left when you have your throne? And Jesus is like, you're confused. That isn't how it's going to go. And they ask this Messiah question, and then all of a sudden, he probably dashes their dreams by saying, I've just come as a servant to all. They're like, what are you talking about? You're supposed to overthrow the government. You're supposed to create an army. You're supposed to set up a kingdom. What do you mean, servant to all? In fact, the conversation goes nowhere after this point. It changes topic. And I'm pretty sure that's because the disciples were like, okay, Jesus, sounds nice. As they probably were often with his responses. Because it didn't fit into their nature and their understanding. But yet Jesus is here in a moment where he's seen as their Messiah. He's calling himself a servant. We are called to be servants. And if we are not servants of the world around us, now listen, that doesn't mean you get walked on. It doesn't mean you get trampled in life. It means that you choose to serve the world and love the world around you in a way that is actually inconveniencing for you. That it might actually take some sacrifice from you. And when we start to live that way, it's a great measurement for whether you're living the ways of Jesus. You see, between this week and next week, I want you to have at least two big measurements for your life that would actually allow you to look at yourself in the mirror and say, am I living the way of Jesus? It should not be confusing for us. This is one of those things. Do you have a serving heart? Do you choose to serve even when it's hard, even when it's inconvenient, even when it's sacrificial? These are all the things that Jesus did for us. And it's the ways that he is calling us to be for the world around us. Are we servants? You know, I ask this as a question as a dad. Am I a servant to my kids? Am I a servant to my wife? Now, does it mean I do every little thing for them? No, absolutely not. And please don't do that. But as a heart of a dad, do I serve them? And for everybody in this room and everybody watching, this is why I began to say you're a good father. Because I will tell you this, even in almost all the fathers that I've met that have at least been there in their family's life in any way, I'll tell you why they're there. It's because they want to serve. They might not put it in words like that, but they want to serve you. You know, sometimes we get judgmental of our dads because they weren't a perfect picture of what we thought they ought to be. And for some, it's absolutely right because there have been some incredibly horrible stories out there. But maybe you had what the world likes to call an absentee father. Maybe he worked 60, 70 hours a week. The reality was he was doing it to serve his family. Maybe you do that now. You go to work, you work hard days. I'm telling you, that's the act of a good father. Because in a heart of a dad, I'm telling you, built into the heart of men, we are all called to be servants. And maybe it's been stuck under the attachments of this world that want us to be self-serving and all that stuff. But I'm telling you, actually, before the world created your nature, God created your nature. And your nature was to serve the world around you. And I've seen the dads in this room for sure. And I've seen so many dads that don't even know God, but they're servants of their families. Even when they make mistakes, even despite the problems that get created, even despite broken families and divorce and all of that nonsense, it doesn't matter. Because when you have a heart of serving someone, then you're literally living the way you were created to be, a servant, a way of Jesus. I want you to think about your dad right now. And this might be a little bit painful for some of you, for many reasons. But it might be really easy for some of you. I want you to think of one way your dad served you. Just one. Isn't it worth celebrating? Everybody thinking of one way? Now I want you to think of one way that the Father in heaven has served you. We can all point to Jesus easy. What about one specific way? What's one way the Father in heaven has served you as his children? We have a good Father. He wants to serve us. And that is almost contradictory to a few thousand years worth of religion. Just being honest. There's a whole side of Christianity and there's a half-truth in this, and I don't want to even get into any debate about it, that we're all here to honor the Father in heaven, to honor God, to worship Jesus. And it's absolutely true. But at the same time as that is part of our design to worship our Father and to worship the God in heaven, he's saying, actually, the only reason you have that design is because I am serving you. You can't be anything that God isn't. You can't be anything in your nature as a human and as a dad and as a mother and as anybody in this world that God hasn't put inside you because it's Him. We're made in His image. We're made in His nature. And all the goodness that comes from us is because of Him towards us first. You want to know how to love people? Because He loves you. Even if you haven't recognized it. Even in the world. I believe that people in the world who have no idea who God is or who Jesus is know how to love to a degree. Why? Because it's just built into their nature as a human being. All the goodness inside you is because it's reflecting the nature of the Father who's created every one of us. And if we want to look at our lives and act the ways of Jesus and in a sense kind of give credence to where He says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I think the whole point was no one comes acting like me unless it's through me. And no one acts like me unless you follow me. No one acts like me unless you've seen the Father. And He goes on to say, you've seen Him because you've seen me. If we want to live the ways of Jesus, we just have to look at how He lived and what He said to do. He said, I am a servant. It's an easy measurement for our lives. So actually, it's an easy measurement, but it's not always easy to do, right? You know, I just tell people, listen, make it hot enough and get me hungry enough, you wouldn't know I'm a Christian at all. That's why we got the AC. It's a real fact. Jessica will literally say to me, you're hungry. Go eat something. God wants us to follow His ways. And His way is that of being a servant. I put some questions on there. We're called to be leaders in serving. How have we shown ourselves as servants to the world around us? And in what ways have we been followers of the world instead of following Jesus in serving? The world is going to promote a certain attitude and a certain way of life. It's what it knows. Education is going to teach you that education is the answer to your life. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with education. You need to be educated. But just getting education to go to college, to get a job, to get a degree, or to make money so that you can have a 401k and you can live some retirement life is missing the point of your design. I think there's been a whole generation of people who have woken up from that and said, listen, this can't be all there is. And it's not that working is wrong. It's not that just doing those things is wrong. But if that's the only point of those things, we've missed the point. You can be a servant no matter where you find yourself in life. No matter what job you have, you've got people around you. You've got ways that we can serve the world, and we should look like what we say. We should look different. I love that Jesus just says this to these disciples. In you, it's going to be different. He says the world wants to lord it over and authority wants to lord it over them, but in you, it's going to be different. In the church, in the people of God, we're called to be different. And one of those ways is serving. Why don't we stand this morning? I think there's a couple of thoughts I want to leave you with real quick. For dads in this room, I want to challenge you. First, don't remember all the bad. You're incredible dads. Second to that, challenge yourself to be better servants. But for everyone else, today, on a day we call Father's Day, I want you to think and honor your dads, your fathers in your life, whatever they look like to you. And remember one way that they've served you. I I know my dad has served me endlessly, actually. I always say to people, listen, they never stop being your parents. They're always going to worry about you. They're always going to care about you. If I wear bad clothes, my mom still brings me clothes. But let us all reflect the nature of our Father in heaven. Let us all reflect his ways in our life. And this week, I want to hear, coming this next Sunday, I want to hear of a couple of things from you guys that you say, this is what God showed me about how my dad served us. And even from dads, I'd love to hear, this is what God showed me and how to serve my family better or how to serve the world around me better. Can we do that? Can we challenge ourselves to be different? Just like Jesus kind of, I love that he says, he doesn't say it can be different. He says, in you, it will be different. That's his word to us. We're supposed to be different. I just want to pray over you today. I want to pray God's blessing over your family. I want to pray over just your lives, that God's favor is upon you. And that in all of our ways that we learn to acknowledge him, in all of our actions we learn to acknowledge him. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've done in us. God, we thank you that we are reflecting your nature in so many ways. But God, we even also want to just kind of take a moment to say, God, we want to do it better. God, we don't want to look and make a compiled list of all the faulty ways of our lives that never does any good, but we simply want to admit, God, we want to do it better. Every one of us, from the young to the old, God, it does not matter how long we followed you, God. We just simply have to say we want to follow you better. We want to reflect your nature better. We want to be in your ways more. And Father, today, God, I ask, create in every one of us a heart of a servant. God, let us see the world with eyes that we can serve, not that we can take from, but that we can serve. God, this week, I pray right now that there will be just moments and stories of where you put into our heart, this is a moment, serve that person. This is a moment, serve that way. This is a moment, go out of your way and serve in this capacity. God, I pray right now, I pray that we would become servants, first of you, but of also the world around us. And that the world would look at us, honestly seeing us as different. Seeing us acting the way we were designed to act. God, I pray for your blessing over every family today. I pray your blessing over every dad in this room, every dad watching. God, I pray for families that are mourning the losses of their dads or difficulties in those situations, God. But I pray right now that your blessing would be upon every person, your blessing upon every family. God, as we celebrate dads today, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be blessed. Have a wonderful day. Thank you so much for joining us. And we hope to see you again next week.
Thank you for listening to NTC Messina's podcast. We hope you join us next week and have a blessed day.